Hey everybody, welcome to The Dive, where we explore the nitty-gritty of creativity here in South Carolina. My name is G.P. McLear, and I'm the Executive Director of the South Carolina Arts Alliance. Thank y'all for joining us for our second episode ever. What? Today we're going to talk to Elizabeth LaFleur. She's a reporter at the Greenville News. She has a column called Ask LaFleur. She used to also work in television for a while. We're going to talk to her today about storytelling, about how journalism and storytelling kind of mesh together. Because at the end of the day, you know, all of art is kind of geared on telling a story, whether it was creating cave pictures about the recent hunt, all the way up to, you know, a new musical. Everything is in art. It's really about, it can be boiled down to telling a story through different mediums. And, you know, today, in this day and age, journalism is kind of the main way we get our stories in our community and about our neighbors. So we wanted to sit down with Elizabeth and talk to her about the creative aspects of journalism, where journalism is headed, and kind of the current state of things in her realm. All right. Hope you guys enjoy it. Here we go.
I'm Elizabeth LaFleur, and I'm a reporter here at the Greenville News, and we are on the fourth floor of the Greenville News building in downtown Greenville.
Great. So, Elizabeth, you are a reporter. So what do you specialize in here at the Greenville News?
I get asked that question all the time, and it's tricky for me to answer because I kind of write about stuff all over the gamut. I write about events happening around town. I have a column called Ask LaFleur where I answer reader questions. That's currently my favorite thing I do.
Oh, nice.
So I get a lot of questions from people and just get to do the research.
Is there, what's the craziest question you've gotten so far in your column?
Oh, that's a good question. I get a lot of what's being built in a particular area, but my favorite is one I'm working on right now, and it's about Albert Einstein's son, who lived in Greenville for a time in the late 30s and early 40s.
What was his name?
Hans Albert Einstein.
Hans.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So just, we'll just add a preposition in front of his name.
And yeah, exactly.
He's a junior. I guess first let's start off with a little bit about you. Why did you choose this field, journalism in general? So, because this is not the first place you have worked in terms of journalism, right?
Yeah, I actually started in TV, and when I was going to college, I had no idea what I wanted to do, and I kind of stumbled into journalism a little bit. I took some communications courses and took some magazine writing, newspaper writing, kind of all over the map writing courses. And I really enjoyed it. And I've always written. I wrote as a little kid all the time. I've always had journals and things like that. And it was something I was passionate about. And for whatever reason, I didn't really pinpoint that was like a job I could do. And so while I was in college down in Charleston, I just kind of became interested in TV initially and did an internship down there with a TV station and really loved the fast pace of it and loved getting to kind of keep up with current events as my job. And after being in TV for a few years, I realized that really it was the writing that I was most interested in. And so I made the jump to newspaper, which is like really backwards for a lot of people.
Oh, yeah.
But it's been great.
Yeah. Like, talk to me a little bit more about why you find writing so attractive.
So I think for me, writing has always been an outlet for processing anything that happened in my life. So, you know, whether it's something small, like when I was a teenager, it would be kind of these angsty things about an argument with friends or whatever. And as I grew older and was more interested in current events, it was a way to sort of process what was happening in the world around me and understand, you know, where I fit into current events and how they affect me in my day-to-day life. And writing that down was always just kind of easier for me than maybe having the conversations or just other ways that people handle it. I mean, writing has just always been like an outlet.
Okay, yeah. So was there a story that either, like a news story that either got you to think, oh, journalism is something I want to do, or is there a story, if that's kind of too hard or there's so many, or is there a story that you, once you started, that you were like, yeah, this is definitely for me?
There have been a lot over the course of my time. When I was still interning, it was during the 2008 election period, and while politics now are kind of my least favorite thing to write about, yeah. I was very fascinated with just the dynamics of it and the two different sides and how that is shown differently in different outlets. And that kind of started a fire in me as far as just wanting to be able to understand both sides of something. I'm a very naturally curious person. So that's where I initially kind of got interested in it. And then while I was in TV, I covered a number of very violent, sad stories that just really helped me understand how important it is for people to know what's happening in mm-hmm. their communities. I was working in local news, and so it's sort of this thing where you see these sad things happen, and they're happening right around you, and it's very much a part of the community that you love and that you live in, and that has just kind of inspired me to keep sharing those stories, even when they're hard to tell.
Yeah. If we're to write a short story like we did in English class in sixth grade, you know, we kind of understand, you know, plot and climax and the ending and conclusion, but when you're writing a story, a news story, what's a little bit of a different take you have to always think about?
So in news, a lot of times people don't really realize how people-centric it is. It's really easy to just kind of assume that we're just taking some facts and writing them down for you, but the truth is with every story, we try to find the people element of it. And for me, that's a really important and really valued part of what I do, because I get to talk to people who are doing important things in our community and kind of try to understand better with each person that I meet what shapes the entire community. And so I think really so much comes from conversations that I have with people and sort of like just always firing on any conversation I have, whether I'm on the clock or not. Talking with people and just learning like who they are and what their impact is on this community, that to me is a huge part of it. I mean, you have to be able to understand in journalism not just what the story is, but who it's reaching and mm-hmm. who it's impacting. And so I think that that's sort of where the creativity of storytelling comes into play, because so much of it has to be data driven and there's so much research behind each story we tell, but it's not really a story that anyone's going to want to read if they can't visualize who it's impacting and how it's impacting them. And so those voices are a huge, huge thing for us.
Yeah, so your audience plays a really big role in how you craft your story, I guess.
Definitely.
Yeah. Is there a... What do you think like the job at the end of the day for a journalist is?
That's a great question, and I think it kind of depends on what your beat is or what you cover. For those who don't know what a beat is, sometimes people have a health beat and they write about health stories mm-hmm. or government or whatever. Ultimately, I think there are a few main things we do. One is to be a watchdog, and that a lot of times falls more on our like civic reporters or government reporters or even the health reporters. That's, you know, to make sure that the people who are in power are acting in the way that they need to, that's for the betterment of the community. But I also think that it's important to be just kind of a voice for the general public as well, whether that's letting them know what's happening in their community or helping them share stories of things that they're doing. To me, those are like the two primary things. We are making sure that our elected leaders and just our leaders in general are doing what they need to do, and also making sure that people are just aware of what is happening. Mm-hmm. And that goes for like events and fun stuff as well as, you know, what's yeah. happening in city council.
It's almost like you guys have to be the public's voice. So you're almost adopting someone else's voice in order to tell a story. Mm-hmm. So does that duty to reflect the community, does that ever hinder the individual creativity in storytelling, or does it help it at all? How do you balance that, the professional duty versus the personal creativity and passion for telling stories?
That is something that I think we are always working on, and we don't always do it as well as we could, as evidenced by comments we may receive. Like we're never perfect at getting the voice exactly right for the community. There's always somebody who's upset with the way we've told a story. But it's something that we work at every day, and it does hinders in a way because we are one person writing a story and there's a whole community that's mm-hmm. hoping that their story is the one that's going to be told. But it also is really helpful because when I sit back and look at a story that I've written, I have to take that lens and I have to say, like, this is not my story. This is whomever I've interviewed and all the people who think like them or feel like them, and it's their story, and the people who think differently from them. Mm-hmm. And so it does sort of help to keep the balance when you remember that what you're writing is for an entire community and not just for yourself.
In this modern age where journalism is something, I guess, a lot of the public, we don't envy your necessary role, I guess. We appreciate it and we depend on it. But sometimes that dependence is questioned, or that the reliability is questioned for a myriad of reasons. How hard is it to find, to maintain your creative passion and still do your job in this current climate?
Some days it's really harder than others. Just about every day I get an angry email or angry Facebook comment or something like that. But I honestly don't know anyone who is still in journalism right now that isn't in it because they love it. It's not a high-paying gig. It's not glamorous by any means. Mm-hmm. I spent 7 hours sitting in a field waiting for President Donald Trump to arrive on Monday, just literally waiting to see his motorcade go by. Days like that, it's kind of like, okay, well, you know, this is not the most glamorous thing. Yeah. Or I'm not going home at 5 p.m. Right. Just forgetting about my day. But at the end of the day, I think it's really important, and I know that the people I work with think it's really important that we do have somebody who's telling those stories. And I think ultimately, if people are honest with themselves, they really... you have to understand that not having journalism and not having someone telling you what's happening in your community would be detrimental.
Mm-hmm.
There has to be someone doing that. And, you know, I'm not really a watchdog reporter. I don't do a whole lot of that deep, heavy investigative stuff. But it's something really important that we do. And I get to kind of play the role of drawing people in with a lot of lighthearted, kind of fun or more community connected mm-hmm. stories that bring eyes to those really important stories. And it's, I get less hate mail probably than a lot of other reporters, but I see it and I feel for my colleagues when they get it. And I just, ultimately, I think people don't understand what would be lost if journalism yeah. wasn't around.
What do you think the impact would be if everyone got the news that they liked?
We're starting to kind of see that a little bit. I mean, I remember in college when I first learned the term echo chamber, and I was just kind of blown away. Like, I had never considered that before. And when I say echo chamber, I mean you're reading sources that already align with your beliefs, mm-hmm. and you're ignoring sources that challenge your beliefs. And we're doing that more and more with social media. And I really think that it's extremely detrimental to journalism to have, just even to have that option for people to do that. But the problem is that's partially journalism's fault. I mean, we have these outlets that are willing to go one side or the other. And that's a real issue for people. And it creates this divide that we are seeing right now every day. I mean, people don't want to hear the other side. Mm-hmm. And that's a huge problem.
What do you think the value is in the industry of telling the opinion that is against the community and your audience? Is there value in that, that you guys, and how often do you think you have to go there, or and talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, that's a really hard question. And I feel lucky that I'm not on our editorial board and I don't have to be the one to make that decision. I do think it's really important. It's why editorial boards exist with newspapers in particular. And you'll see some TV stations have that as well. But I think that history just really shows that voices that speak out against the way things are those that create change. And for better or worse, I mean, I'm not here to advocate for which change is good and which is bad, but it's deeply important. it's part of what I was just talking about challenging beliefs. You have to have somebody who's telling you maybe what's uncomfortable or what is different than the status quo, because that's how we progress and that's how we get better. Mm-hmm. And journalism is an interesting job because you have that voice. It's not my voice. I don't really take the side of one thing or the other as a reporter, but our newspaper does, and that's part of the role of newspapers.
In the modern journalism age, what are some of the hurdles to telling a story the way you like are most passionate about telling it?
The biggest hurdle is just time and the pace of everything. Newspaper is speeding up.
Mm-hmm.
I should say online journalism, I guess, really, because of the newspaper still coming out in the morning like it always has. But just the pace of it, you know, the need to be first. And I think that that not only has been damaging in some ways to accuracy, but also just not taking the time to sort of breathe life into a story and give it that personal angle. So we do have a decent chunk of stories that don't really get that treatment. And I think that's a big hurdle.
Where, as a journalist, where do you get your news from?
Oh, so many sources. So we're really lucky here because we have a subscription to a bunch of papers. And so every morning when I come in, I'm one of the first people in the office, and I'll check out the New York Times, Wall Street Journal. You know, I'll check out what mm-hmm. we have in print, what our partners have in print. But then I also go online and just kind of browse. Like, all day long I browse mm-hmm. various sites. And I like to try to make sure I'm balancing. You kind of know where outlets lean, so I like to balance those.
Yeah, I always tell people that I subscribe to both Mother Jones and Breitbart for my job.
Nice.
And everything in between.
Okay. I also pay attention to all of our local.
Oh, yeah.
Like, just to plug them for a minute, all of the TV stations do good work, and mm-hmm. I think it's important to be kind of tuned into what everyone's doing.
What do you think, because you've done both, what's the difference in storytelling for TV versus journalism, versus print?
Oh, man. I really, you know, TV sometimes gets a bad rap in the newspaper world because people think they don't do as much heavy investigative work or they don't dig as deep. It's just not true.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a different style of storytelling. One thing that TV has that print or online journalism doesn't have quite as much is they have to visually tell every single story that they're going to tell. And so that's a challenge that they face that, you know, takes more than one person to put a story together for them.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm talking about before it even reaches editors.
Right.
On our end, you know, I write a story start to finish typically, and then it goes to editors. So I'm not really relying a lot of times on someone else to help tell the story unless I bring in a photographer or something like that.
Right, right. Do you see local papers and local news stations having to kind of grow, being forced to grow into a 24/7 news network?
Yeah, a little bit. Everything's sort of moving more to this network lifestyle where, you know, we've always all been connected, not always, but for the last several decades, we've been connected to things like we're part of the USA Today network, and TV stations are all connected to CBS or NBC or ABC or Fox or whatever. And so it's not so much that I think that, like, local news is going to start being on your TV 24/7, but the coverage is happening. I mean, online especially.
Mm-hmm.
So TV stations and newspapers are both focusing on trying to get stories up all hours of the day. We're definitely headed in that direction. The problem really is that we don't, in a lot of newsrooms, we don't have the staff for that to happen 24/7. So it's this kind of weird mix of needing it all the time and not necessarily being equipped to produce it all the time.
Do you wish, because I kind of do, that one publication or one publisher outlet would just say, forget what the trends are, let's just do less but do it better?
I do sometimes, and there are a lot of outlets, not a lot, there are a few outlets that have, like, notably kind of done that. One in particular that comes to mind is a newspaper that was started, it's like a newspaper network sort of, that was started in North Carolina,
mm-hmm.
and they started printing in a time where everyone's, like, scaling back on printing. And to me, it's just kind of cool. I mean, there are still people, there's always going to be people who appreciate, if nothing else, appreciate just holding a paper.
Right.
So it's kind of cool to see someone bucking the trend in that way.
Are you sick of news sometimes? Do you sometimes just not want to know what's going on?
Yeah. No, I never used to say that, and I came into the business and was so gung-ho about always wanting to know. But the longer I'm in, the more I value just taking time away.
Yeah.
It's never really a long time away, but sometimes I'll go for like a hike or something, and I'll just turn everything off and feel good about not being connected for like 3 hours.
Yeah. Or when you're on vacation, do you ever pick up the newspaper by accident or habit?
Yeah. Oh, I definitely do, especially if I'm in a hotel where they're free.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah, and I kind of like to see what other communities are reporting on, how they're telling stories, so I will do that, but I try to take breaks.
Yeah. What's the creative process that you go through when you write a story?
That's an awesome question. So for me, I mean, a lot of my stories are reader-submitted questions right now, and so I'm in this kind of cool spot where people are helping me cultivate the story idea. Which is new to me, and that's a really cool thing because I get this question, and I know right off the bat that somebody is actually really interested in knowing. And so my first thing with that would be to figure out, beyond this person who has already shown their interest, who else might be interested in this story, and what kind of characters could come into the story to help tell it. I do that with any kind of story, too. I try to think of people first because one of the things that I really love about this job is getting to meet people and talk to people. And so I, a lot of times, will make like several more phone calls than I have to make or visit more people than I have to visit for a story just to kind of hear the different dynamics of it. And then I do interviews that are probably a lot longer than they need to be just to kind of find out people's backstory a little bit. And I'm just like naturally very curious about who people are and where they come from. And I think that that helps to tell the story. So I spend a lot of time on figuring out who the people are that are involved. And when I sit down to write, I really take a lot less time on the writing part than I do on the interviewing part. And not because I don't value it as much, because I love the writing, but I think it's easier for me when I understand who the person is and where they're coming from.
What's the hook that you look for in a good story? So when you see when you're on a topic and you're going to tell this story and you have to choose between two different stories maybe, what is the common hook that you kind of have seen in stories that really work?
That's a really good question. I mean, ultimately, it's just got to be something that if a story shows change or growth in the community, those always resonate with people.
Okay.
And it doesn't really matter what the subject is, but if it somehow leads to change, growth, or betterment of the Greenville or upstate community, people are always interested. Yesterday, I went and talked to the Clemson Life Program, which is a program for special needs students, and they go to school at Clemson and get kind of immersed in the Clemson culture. That's a story of betterment of the community. It has nothing to do with, you know, bringing in a new company or building a new building, but it's about growing the community and helping it evolve into something special.
Yeah. See, that's a great point.
Hey, look, I've got an idea. How about everybody who's listening, let's all get on our computers, find a reporter from our local paper or a news anchor on our TV station. Let's all send them a quick little happy note saying thanks for all of your hard work and give them a compliment or send them some positive messaging. I tell you, I definitely think being a journalist in this day and age is really hard, but it's also extremely important. I mean, without journalists, and how would we know where to find the stories about ourselves? You know, it's a really important calling. I'm glad Elizabeth has taken up the torch and is helping lead the way up here in Greenville. If you want to reach out to Elizabeth, you can do so on Twitter. Her Twitter is at ES LaFleur. That's LaFleur. LaFleur. Or you can go to greenbowlonline.com and search for her column, Ask LaFleur. She's pretty responsive on email and on Twitter. Also, she's a pretty cool cat. So go reach out and say hey. Or go find a reporter somewhere, give them a hug, tell them thanks for all you do. So that pretty much wraps us up today. Hope you all enjoyed it. So make sure you subscribe to The Dive on iTunes. Send it out to your friends. Check our website out, scartsalliance.net. Once again, I'm GP McGlear. I'm the executive director. And thank you all for listening. Stay creative, South Carolina.